Arizona News Radio. Pima County Sheriff's deputies looking for a man who tried to abduct a 15-year-old girl outside of her home.
We're looking for a Caucasian male at this time, between 25 and 30 years old.
Phoenix police looking for suspects. Three people shot, drive by a 14-year-old, one of the victims.
A maroon four-door vehicle drove by, and then it made a U-turn. And as it passed by, the passenger, who was now closest to the three individuals who were walking on the street, began to shoot at them.
Two Walmart workers in Prescott arrested for stealing money from the store. One wanted a sex change operation.
Both Colon and Altaveros had each had a reason for, you know, going forth with this burglary, knowing that they would get a large amount of dollars.
A bomb scared a Chandler apartment complex.
The complex was searched. There were no other devices found in the area.
News brought to you by the Arizona Lottery. Tonight's Powerball, $107 million. Tickets available at local retailers. George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of York Avenex traffic, a service of check in to cash. 4 o'clock hour. Look for an injury accident. Country Club Drive. Just north of Broadway. Also, we do have an accident on the right shoulder, northbound I-17, just south of Glendale. Check into cash guarantees the lowest rate on titled secured loans. Even if you have a loan with someone else, check into cash will help you buy it back, and it'll save you money. Plus, ask about check into cash $50 cash bonus offer. Hurry. Go to check into cash, gang, okay? Here's your Wednesday forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. It will continue hot again tomorrow, close to 110. But then Friday into the weekend, we have scattered showers and thunderstorms developing over much of southern Arizona, including the greater Phoenix area. Daytime highs go way down, 95 to 102. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently we're at 105 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. Coming up, it is the Legal East Show with your host, Dennis Willinchick. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
September is Arizona Preparedness Month, and the state needs your help. If you are a healthcare professional, please register as a volunteer with the Arizona Department of Health Services at azdhs.gov/volunteer. The knowledge and skills you have could make the difference during a disaster. Help make every minute count when it matters most. Make sure you're registered before the next disaster happens. Register online today at azdhs.gov/volunteer.
This news report is brought to you by State Farm Insurance. Talk to an agent today about State Farm's new lower car insurance rates. Call an agent 24/7 or visit statefarm.com. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Simple Green, the original green cleaner, presents the Green Tip of the Week. This week's tip, make a change. Try to carpool or take public transportation to work, school, or shopping just one day per week. Or try riding your bike one day. You'll save money, fuel, and get some exercise. That's this week's Green Tip of the Week. Visit our website at simplegreen.com.
This is Legal Ease, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchick.
This is Dennis Willinchick, and this is Legal Ease, brought to you every Wednesday from 4 to 5, preceding the Lou Dobbs Show. And this week we have on the air with us Jeff Flake. Jeff is presently serving his sixth term in Congress and represents the 6th Congressional District of Arizona as well, which includes parts of Mesa, Chandler, and all of Gilbert, Queen Creek, and Apache Junction. Jeff serves in the House Committee on Appropriation and is a fifth-generation Arizonian raised on a ranch in Snowflake, which, as I understand it, was named after a great-great-grandfather. And after serving as a Mormon missionary in Southern Africa, he graduated from Brigham Young University, where he received a B.A. in International Relations and an M.A. in Political Science. And that's where he apparently met his wife. And in 87, Jeff started his career at a public affairs firm in Washington, D.C., and then moved back to Southern Africa, to Namibia, and was the executive director of the Foundation for Democracy, monitoring Namibia's independence process, where he saw the nation usher in freedom and democracy, which we'll be talking about. And in 92, Jeff and his family moved back to Arizona, where he became executive director of the Goldwater Institute. And in that role, Jeff worked to promote a conservative philosophy of less government, more freedom, and individual responsibility. Jeff and his wife have been married for 25 years and live in Mesa and have 5 children. Jeff, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Dennis.
Absolutely. And Obviously, you're a congressman, which we just told our audience, but you are running now for the U.S. Senate. Why?
Well, we've had great representation over the past three Senate terms by John Kyle. And we've got to make sure that this seat stays Republican. John Kyle's brought a conservative philosophy to the Senate, and he's also kind of been the go-to guy on Arizona issues, particularly Arizona, 87% publicly owned. We have issues that other states just don't have, particularly in the rural areas, water issues, resource issues, public lands issues. And he's developed quite a record on those issues. And we've got to ensure, like I said, that it stays Republican and conservative. And right now, it's jobs and the economy, debt and deficit, fiscal issues that I've had a pretty strong record, I believe, in the House and need to bring that to the Senate.
Well, obviously, we have some serious problems out there every day. All of us as citizens are reminded of it when we just walk around in society and see what's going on, or just drive down the street and see all the people walking around aimlessly. Jeff, what can you do as U.S. Senator to do something positive that you can't do as congressman?
Well, one of 435, it's a little tough to impact the direction of legislation. I've worked pretty hard on the issue of not just the level of spending that we do, but the type of spending. I was aghast when I got to Congress a decade ago at the process of earmarking, for example, which is just basically one member saying, I want this amount of money for my district for this project, and or for this company in my district, or for this institution. And it was a corrupting practice, and unfortunately Republicans had really heightened the process of earmarking more than Democrats had, and that shouldn't be us. That's not what where our party is.
What bills did you introduce to curb this pork barrel spending?
Well, what I did is I went to my own caucus week after week after week for a couple of years, saying we got to stop this. I mean, we're going to have members in jail. We ended up having members in jail. And it's just ruining our brand as conservatives. When my caucus wouldn't move, I went to the House floor and started offering amendments to strike individual earmarks. And over the period of about 4 years, I offered several hundred amendments in what became known as the flake hour, after every appropriation bill was on the floor, because my own leadership couldn't stop me from doing it, because I was challenging their earmarks. I challenged my own speaker's earmark at one point. My own party got kind of tired of it, and in 2006, when we lost the majority, I was removed from my judiciary position post as punishment for what they called bad behavior, pointing out Republican spending. But 2 years later, we got rid of earmarks.
Yeah.
And by the way, for
my listeners, for the past 3 years, you've been ranked by my research as number one by the National Taxpayers Union on votes for fiscal policy beneficial to taxpayers.
Yeah, I think it's actually been my first couple of years in Congress, Ron Paul beat me.
No.
And I was number two out of 535.
Tough to beat him.
But no, the last, I think, 7 or 8 years, I've been number one or number 535, whichever way you want to rank that as far as the spending.
Let me just ask you while we're on that. Can we actually as a nation, cut or leave taxes alone and still bring down this incredible deficit and debt that this country is running amok with, and accomplish at the same time basic services that people need? Is that possible?
You bet. We're not undertaxed. We just spend too much. And I think that we can actually bring our tax rates down significantly. And the Simpson-Bowles Commission and other commissions have said the same thing. We can bring the overall rate down and bring the corporate rate, which is 35, highest in the world. If we're going to compete globally, we've got to do that. We can bring the rate down considerably if we'll get rid of a lot of the tax expenditures, the exemptions, the deductions, the loopholes that are there.
What would be the first thing you'd cut out of the federal budget that's ongoing?
Probably ethanol subsidies. It's about a $5 billion item. That and other farm subsidies that distort our trade practices. That ought to be a layup. That ought to be an easy one. But there's a lot of corporate welfare out there. The left tends to exaggerate the subsidies that go to so-called big oil. But there are some subsidies that, we give fossil fuel research subsidies to Chevron, for example. And there are things that we ought to get rid of there as well.
Yeah, clearly. Well, my understanding, the reason I was interrupting you was I believe that you have a bill that you've introduced, the Food and Agriculture Risk Management Bill. Is that accurate or not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, we have subsidies that go to agriculture in a number of different ways, depending on the commodity. For example, sugar. We subsidize sugar directly in some cases, and then we put import tariffs on the importation of sugar, and then we pay for sugar storage, for example, and then we every which way. And so this is a piece of legislation to get at a number of these subsidies. We also, for example, let me give you just an egregious example on cotton. We subsidize our cotton so heavily that it's put us out of sorts with our own international trade agreements, so much so that Brazil sued us in the WTO and won. And so they started to impose a tariff on all of our exports. We can't have that. And so we went to the Brazilians and said, how about we subsidize your cotton in order that we can continue to subsidize ours? And so that's what we're doing right now. We're giving Brazil $147 million a year to subsidize their own cotton.
This was during the Obama administration?
Yes. But I have to say, I mean, this our farm policy and subsidies is not a Democratic problem. Mm-hmm. We Republicans passed some awful farm bills when we were in charge. And so that's more of a regional issue than it is a partisan issue. And so that as far as what to go at first, that ought to be an easy one, not just because of the waste of money. It's the distortion of our trade practices, and it makes it more difficult to trade other items as well when we're violating our trade agreements with farm produce.
Seems pretty obvious. Yeah. Now, let me turn to a couple of different topics here. I noticed that about 10 years ago, you were one of just three members of Congress to vote against Congress's attempt to deal with corporate governance, the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, as it's become known. Is that right?
Yes.
And that law created, apparently, as it turns out, billions of dollars of compliance costs for businesses. Is that accurate?
You bet. I thought that was overreach in the extreme. We shouldn't have gone that direction. We did, and it has made us less competitive globally. We've had firms move overseas. We always wonder why do firms offshore, and it's relatively easy. You've got the corporate tax rate, and then you have compliance issues with things like Sarbanes-Oxley. So, as you mentioned, I was only one of three votes against that. That was a tough vote.
That's pretty
because,
crazy.
You know, we had some shenanigans going on, and we obviously needed to be addressed, but not in that fashion. And then lately we've piled on with the Dodd-Frank bill.
Well, is there any chance, if you're our next senator, that you can do something about this?
You bet. And back to your question you asked a while ago.
Yeah, we just got a minute.
What can you do in the Senate that you can't in the House? It's tough to move legislation in the House, one individual, or to block legislation. We were able to do it with earmarks. The Senate, the rules are such that they guard the prerogative of the individual as opposed to the majority. So it's much easier for an individual, if that individual is willing to stand up against their own party if they need to.
Will that be one of the things
else
you'll do is,
you bet,
is deal with the Sarbanes-Oxley issue?
Yes. Sarbanes-Oxley, all across the board, whether it's environmental regulations, whether it's financial, health care, labor, those are things that in the Senate you can have a big impact on.
All right, well, we're going to come back and follow up on that. A lot of issues, but that's one of them in a few minutes after these commercial messages. We're here with Jeff Flake. I was running for Senate, U.S. Senate. This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese, KFNX, News Talk Radio 1100. We'll be back in just a moment.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wolinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wolinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wolinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
Building Materials Outlet wants to remind everyone that when you take to the road this Labor Day, remember to take along those three C's of safety. That's caution, courtesy, and above all, a little common sense. Safe and sober driving is everyone's responsibility. This message, courtesy of Joe, Bridget, and the staff at Building Materials Outlet in Phoenix, where service is more than a word, it's a priority. Trust their years of experience. Call Building Materials Outlet at 602-232-1114. That's 602-232-1114.
Did you know that more than 65% of corporations on the New York Stock Exchange are using barter? In fact, more than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Think you know barter? Think again. With Premier Barter, the Valley's fastest-growing and most business-friendly barter company, you can gain access to a network of more than 40,000 companies. Through Premier Barter, you can expand your customer base and generate barter dollars, which can be spent through hundreds of companies locally and thousands of companies nationwide. Almost anything you can think of, things you're currently buying for cash, can be acquired with barter. Visit www.premierbarter.com. It will be the best business decision you ever make. 602-470-8020. That's 602-470-8020. More than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Call Premier Barter today. That's 602-470-8090. PremierBarter.com.
We're back. This is Legalese, Dennis Wilenchek, every Wednesday from 4 to 5. And this week we're speaking with Jeff Flake, who is a U.S. congressman and from Arizona and running for U.S. Senate and hopefully our next U.S. senator. We'll get into your campaign and how that's going, Jeff, in a few minutes. But I want to come back to what we were talking about before the break. America is known, you know, since I was a kid, and that's a long time ago, as being the leader in, of the world in terms of business. And it seems to me over my lifetime we've fallen down substantially. And it's kind of idiotic reasons like this Sarbanes-Oxley thing, you know, trying to put more governance on companies that may not need it. Now, there are some areas clearly that do, but unnecessary red tape, bureaucracy, that's not going to get us to where we need to go. So tell us what you're going to do when you become senator to try to change that.
Well, as I travel around and talk to people, small businesses in particular, and say, what are the hurdles that you have to overcome?
Yeah.
The uncertainty on tax rates is a big one. Healthcare expenses that are going to come with, particularly with Obamacare, that's another big one. But increasingly what I'm hearing is just the overburdening of regulation.
Yeah.
I mean, they will say, and I've heard this many times, we don't know which agency is going to show up on our doorstep tomorrow
right.
and regulate us out of business, whether it's environmental, labor, healthcare, environment. You know, it's just
there's
across the board. They just it's
and therefore the proliferation of lawyers, such as
you
myself.
You've had you've seen finally the president recently came out and stepped up on the overreach of the EPA in just one little area. That's the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
But at least there's some recognition there that if you're going to get the economy going, and some people will say, well, you know, we're coming up on an election year. Is it going to be impossible to get some movement on some of these issues? It may actually make it easier because yeah. I can tell you, if the president wasn't thinking about his reelection, he wouldn't have done what he just did in terms of telling the EPA, all right, roll back on some of these regulations, because he is starting, I hope, to understand that to grow this economy, you've got to roll back some of these regulations.
I think he's starting to understand that he may be a one-term president.
That's exactly it. And then the motivation, every one-term president or every first-term yeah. president wants to be a second-term president.
Right.
And whatever motivates him, that's fine with me, as
right.
long as he's doing the right thing.
All right, well, let's talk for a minute about, aside from just the corporate governance issue, what is Jeff Flake, as U.S. Senator, going to try to do in terms of, you know, bringing this messed up economy back, aside from what you've already described? Is there anything else you have on the agenda?
Yeah. Like I said, we need some certainty on tax policy moving ahead. I don't think anybody's realistically saying we're going to have a massive tax cuts in the future to spur the economy. I'm an ardent supply-sider. I think that people spend their money better than government does. So you leave it in their hands and you do better, you grow the economy, you grow the pie. Having said that, what I think all of us recognize, as we talked a little about before, is that we have a tax code that hasn't been revisited really since 1986. And it's like any home with an attic, you got to clean it out every once in a while.
Why does that have to be so complicated? I've never understood this in all years as a lawyer.
Well, it just gets more so and more so, and then you have every special interest that got the loophole
right.
looking to protect it.
Right.
And then you just have to pile on to give that favor elsewhere, and it just grows and grows and grows, and pretty soon, you know, individuals can't even do their own taxes.
Right.
I don't dare. I can tell
I
you
don't
that.
Either.
And it's just it's a tax code that has to be flattened, and you can do that in a way that lowers overall rates, but frankly will produce a lot more revenue in the end, not just the supply side effects. There are some Republicans who say every time you get rid of a subsidy or a tax expenditure in the tax code, you have to match that with a tax cut. For example, the ethanol subsidy we talked about before, that came up for a vote in the Senate, and some were saying, hey, you can't cut that tax credit out unless you match it with a tax decrease somewhere else. I don't believe that. Yeah. I say, if you can get rid of a bad subsidy, get rid of it. If that means extra revenue that you can pay the debt down faster, do it.
Right.
And so that's an area in terms of getting the economy going. Now, some will say, you know, what are you going to do for Arizona specifically, the housing market? I can tell you the federal government has, over the past a few years, passed a number of programs, the HAMP or others, to try to deal with individual foreclosure issues. You can do that till the cows come home, and you aren't going to make a significant difference unless the overall economy is growing. That's what we need to do. We need more jobs out there. Jobs are created by the private sector, not by government. I think the stimulus spending that we've seen over the past two years.
You can't bring down interest rates anymore, so that's not stimulating.
Right. I mean, when you look at there are limits to monetary policy, particularly when you're when you're at basically zero interest rates. And then fiscal policy, obviously, there's no more money to stimulate in that way. Because when you get to 100% of debt per GDP, that's not a road you want to go down. At least most of us don't want to go down. There are some ardent Keynesians who do, but I think they're vastly outnumbered.
But I mean, the reality is, as an Arizona congressman and hopefully future senator, the reality is this state was built, as you all know, on construction growth. Mm-hmm. Home building and that kind of thing, which then spurs all these other industries to be attracted. And, of course, we do have a tax code here in the state. Some states don't even have that. We don't have some of the incentives that Texas has, for example, and other states that are growing. So I recognize that as U.S. Senator, you have just so much control over those issues. But what can you do, again, as U.S. Senator to sort of spur growth within our state in particular?
Okay. Well, one thing right now, as I mentioned before, this state Arizona is 87% publicly owned. It's tough to have goods and services, when you're only taxing 13% of the land. And with that, we have issues that other states don't. So one, you've got to make sure that you have water policy moving ahead. Arizona, they say whiskeys for drinking waters or fighting or whatever else. It's important here, the water, and to make sure that California doesn't take it all.
Right.
So moving ahead, that's what you need Arizona delegation to make sure we focus on. Two, public lands. One thing the Obama administration is trying to do right now is basically go in and abrogate the Arizona Wilderness Act that was passed by Barry Goldwater and Mo Udall and stakeholders on the right, the left, environmentalists, industry folks. Everybody came together in the 80s and passed the Arizona Wilderness Act, which set aside a million more acres in northern Arizona to make sure the Grand Canyon remains pristine. But it also, away from the Grand Canyon, let a certain areas remain there for uranium mining, for example. Well, the Obama administration just went in and tried to remove more acreage, about a million more in acreage from that withholding. And so that could mean as many as 4,000 jobs go out the door that could have been here for uranium mining that is clean, that is environmentally sound, that does not impact the Grand Canyon at all. It's away from the Grand Canyon, and it's so-called Barasia pipe mining, which is six-year
life
of the
mine. What can
you
do as a senator about that?
Well, that we're trying in the House. I actually attached language to the Interior Appropriation Bill that blocked the implementation of the president's order to do that. In the Senate, we were able to do that in the House. We still have to protect that language on the floor. But I can tell you, in the Senate, it's much easier to do that because you just have more leverage in that regard. Also, we need to make sure that that Arizona, that we have the best weather here for flying. We have We have public lands that's there for the Barry Goldwater Range can't be replicated anywhere else in the country. So our military bases here, we just need to make sure that the encroachment issues don't force the Air Force or others to move elsewhere. And as a U.S. senator, those are the issues you deal with as well, to make sure that Arizona can compete for those defense jobs that are going to go somewhere.
And what about the construction industry in general before our break?
Well, we have infrastructure needs here in Arizona that
yeah, we're not California.
No.
That confuses us.
I was going to put Arizona and California, for example, are so-called donor states. We're giving more money to Washington than we get back for our infrastructure needs, and we need to make sure that we get whatever dollar we give, we got to get back, and we should get it back in a way that doesn't where the dollar you give to Washington doesn't spend like 60 cents once you do Davis-Bacon and everything else. In absent earmarks, if we can keep earmarks at bay, that will ensure that donor states, current donor states like Arizona, California, Florida, Texas, get their full reward. We get our dollar for dollar, because in the past, the way that the chairman of committees have basically bribed states to take less than they give is by earmarks, saying, your state will be short $100 million over the next 4 years, but you can have this $30 million to spend how you want in your district. And that's what's been done for all the donor states for too long, the last three or four transportation cycles. And so in order to make sure that we can continue to build and grow, we've got to ensure that for every dollar we send to Washington, we get it back.
All right. Thanks for that. We're going to take a break for a few minutes here. We're talking with Jeff Flake. This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese. And we'll be coming back and talking about things that affect you all, such as gas at the pump, which I just filled up today. And unfortunately, it cost me a pretty penny. So we'll be back. This is Dennis Wolinchek in a few minutes.
A righty on the left coast. The Lars Larson Show. Weeknights at 10 on KFNX.
CNN Radio. I'm Barbara Hall. Details of President Obama's new jobs plan are starting to emerge. CNN's Jessica Yellen tells us it's designed to help a wide range of people.
According to a Democratic source familiar with a draft of the plan, I am told that it will include a mix of tax breaks for business, infrastructure spending, aid to the states, and help for the chronically unemployed.
President Obama will outline the details in an address to a joint session of Congress tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern. Eight Republican presidential candidates will take part in a debate at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library tonight. It's the debate debut for Texas Governor Rick Perry, who is atop the GOP polls. In Libya, a military warehouse in Tripoli has been looted. Officials say a large amount of weapons remain unaccounted for. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio. Attorney General Tom Horn suing three members of the Independent Redistricting Commission. He wants to investigate allegations that the open meeting law might have been violated.
This is stonewalling, and I haven't reached any conclusion as to whether or not the law was violated, but I do have reasonable cause to pursue an investigation as to whether it was violated.
Weather could be changing across Arizona this weekend.
The main emphasis on this storm looks like strong, gusty, possibly damaging winds, hail, and blowing dust.
One person injured Tucson house fire. He went in to try to save his dog.
His son was visiting from out of town. He had brought his dog with him, and the dog was inside the house, but nobody else was home at the time.
Two businesses at a Chandler strip mall destroyed by a fire.
Some contractors had done some work earlier this week, some type of electrical work.
News brought to you by the Arizona Lottery. Tonight's Powerball, $107 million. Tickets available at local retailers. George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, once again, a service of check into a cash. Look for an accident on the right shoulder blocking southbound 51st Avenue, Van Buren. Also, we have a disabled vehicle on the left shoulder, westbound I-10. Just before you arrive at 7th Avenue, that's going to be a bugaboo. Check into cash guarantees the lowest rate on title secured loans. Even if you have a loan with someone else, check into cash will help you buy it back, and you'll save money. Plus, ask about their $50 cash back offer. Here's your Wednesday forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. It will continue hot again tomorrow, close to 110. But then Friday into the weekend, we have scattered showers and thunderstorms developing over much of southern Arizona, including the greater Phoenix area. Daytime highs go way down, 95 to 102. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. KFNX News Time is 4:33. Currently, we're at 106 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Ryan Nicholas, co-host of Hour with the Pros, every Thursday at 4. Hour with the Pros is a fast-paced look at creating and protecting your wealth. Tune in to Hour with the Pros, Thursdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Your money will thank you.
Hey gang, Chad Reynolds here. I just wanted to tell you a quick story about my experience with Zero Res. I recently bought a condo and was getting ready to gut the place and get new carpet because it was pretty nasty. Then I heard these ads on KFNX where I work and thought, these guys talk pretty big. And when I heard the special they were running, I figured I could afford to put it to the test. Now, I'm still not sure what Empowered Water is, but I did see it in action and they saved the carpet in my condo. The fact that they don't use soaps or chemicals and to see the carpet go from black to white with Empowered Water, that made a believer out of me. Now, in the past, when I've had my carpets cleaned, when it dries, it's usually crunchy and stiff. You know what I'm talking about? But with Zero Res, the carpet dried quickly and it was soft and felt amazing. When they asked me to share my experience, I felt this is something I can stand behind. And they also said I could give you guys a great special. Call today and mention you heard Chet from KFNX talk about Zero Res and you'll get 3 rooms of carpet pre-treated, cleaned, and sanitized for only $119. Call 480-507-2419. That's 480-507-2419 or schedule online at ZeroResPhoenix.com. Remember Zero Res. Spelled backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
The Pulse, Arizona's healthcare radio show. We have our fingers on the pulse of healthcare in Arizona and around the nation, keeping you updated and informed on the news, legislation, resources, issues, and people affecting your healthcare. The Pulse, Saturday at 10 a.m.
This is Dennis Willinchek, and we're back on Legalese every Wednesday from 4 to 5 on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And this week, we're pleased to have Jeff Flake, a candidate for U.S. Senator, currently a U.S. Congressman from Arizona, here with us. And, Jeff, before the break, we were talking about some of the things that you would do as a U.S. Senator to help the situation out there in the economy. And we were discussing earmarks and some of those issues. But let's bring this down to the average listener here of our show. What are you going to do about gas at the pump? I mean, as I said before the break, you know, you fill up, it's a $50 bill. Most people just can't do that. That was taken for granted when I was young. You know, you bought the car, but the gas was not considered to be a major expense. What's your position on this now?
Hey, I'm an all-of-the-above energy policy guy. We need to drill more. We need to make it easier to access both oil and natural gas in federal lands. Part of the reason we're having the trouble with these deep water spills like we had in the Gulf last year is because we made it so difficult to drill onshore or in the shallows. And so we've got to cut through the red tape and make the permitting process easier. We haven't permitted a nuclear plant in the last 30 years or haven't started to build one. We finally started permitting them, but it just takes so long to do because of the cumbersome red tape. Now, you know, we've had this wonderful discovery of you know, these shale natural gas reserves, particularly in Pennsylvania, and now the environmentalists are trying to shut all that off.
Yeah.
The so-called fracking procedure that allows us to get that, and I mean, we have literally hundreds of years worth of natural gas. We are the Saudi Arabia of natural gas.
Yeah.
And that's a cheap alternative to gasoline. And it's better for the environment, you name it.
Yeah.
But as soon as we have an abundant source of anything, it seems the left wants to go and cut it off and continue to raise prices of any of the fossil fuels so much that you know, supposedly we're just going to jump into solar and wind and the renewables tomorrow, despite all of the subsidies that we've done in those areas, that's still less than 2% of our electricity, for example, is generated by solar and wind at this point. And I'm all for it. If the market can bear it, do more of that. But we're a long way from being able to rely on that. So for the foreseeable future, it's going to be fossil fuels, and we've got to ensure that we have access to them.
We're talking with Jeff Flake, who's a candidate for U.S. Senate, currently a congressman. I'm going to turn the conversation a little bit here. You have an interesting background, I noted, and going back to Southern Africa. Tell our audience why you did that. Why did you go back to Namibia, and what lessons did you learn there?
Well, I was in Southern Africa as a Mormon missionary back in 81, 82. This visit to Namibia 7 years later was not related to any religious
missionary
activity.
That's what I'm asking. Why did you go back? And
Namibia was gaining its independence from South Africa. I happened to learn the language of Afrikaans when I was in South Africa years before. They speak a lot of that in Namibia, so that was
attractive. Dutch derivative,
yeah,
or something.
It is. Yeah. But more than that, for any political junkie like me, to be there when a country has its first elections and writes its constitution and installs its first government, that's
exciting.
Just nirvana.
Yeah.
And it was what a fascinating time. The year, the week that they had their elections, November of 89, was the same week the Berlin Wall came down.
Wow.
And so it was fascinating to be there when the Soviet model had just collapsed.
Sure.
And gratefully it did, just in time, because the new government certainly took note of that.
Yeah.
And Namibia, they wrote a good constitution. They're doing pretty well. They have the benefit of a small population, a lot of land. It's about twice the size of California, and some big reserves. A lot of the gem quality diamonds people
wear. What lessons
wear.
did you take away from that?
You know, one that that if you have good structures in place, a good constitution, and you have the right institutions there, civic institutions, both on the legal side and on the democracy side, that you don't need massive oil wealth or anything else. You can, if you have those structures in place, those institutions, you can make a go of it. And then they've done well. It's not a rich country by any means, but they've done well. And I take my hat off to them and to the other countries. When I was there, it was the so-called Western Contact Group, the U.S., Britain, was in West Germany, and France, and Canada were there to ensure that they got off to a good start. And, I mean, some people are down on international institutions of any kind that go in and aid countries to get a good start. And I have to say, even the U.N., the U.N. does a lot of bad things, particularly the General Assembly. But this was a U.N. Security Council resolution that was implemented while I was there. U.N. Security Council Resolution 435, and the U.N. behaved themselves and comported themselves quite well.
Well, you know,
time.
While we're on that, I think I noted somewhere that you propose reform to the United Nations as one of your platforms, I guess, and easing of trade with Cuba. Is that correct?
You bet.
So tell us what reforms you'd institute at the United Nations to bring that into line with reality.
Well, I mean, like I said,
because I take my hat off to you.
there's a lot that needs to be done at the UN. Frankly, the organizations that basically spawn out from the General Assembly are of dubious value, in my view. But the Security Council has at times. Their participation or their peacekeeping that they've done, you know, in the Syria Israeli border, for example, has been a good thing. Resolution 435 in Southern Africa worked. It can work. They need some reforms. I think that our participation is, they probably ask too much of us. We host the United Nations with all the issues that come with that. And then we pay, about 33% of the operating costs and almost that same amount for peacekeeping costs. That's disproportionate to our population and economic
numbers. I see. So those are the kinds
numbers.
Of reforms.
So those kind of reforms. But then also, you mentioned Cuba. Cuba has always just kind of bothered me. And that goes back to the in my time in Africa, too. The Resolution 435 was implemented only because the Cubans finally decided to get out of Angola. And yeah. They had 60,000 troops there. But in my view, the best way to deal with Cuba is, you know, if you want to get rid of Fidel Castro and Raul, make them deal with spring break once in a while. Just right now, the sanctions that we've imposed on Cuba are really not sanctions on Cuba as much as they are on us.
Exactly.
It tells Americans that they can't go to Cuba, and that just has seemed crazy to me. Now, if we
what do you propose in that regard?
Just lift the travel ban completely. I would lift the entire economic embargo. I mean, that made sense, perhaps, the economic embargo when Cuba was a client state of the Soviet Union, when it was fomenting revolution around the world. It is not now.
Yeah, it's a whole different deal.
Yeah, and so, but in particular with the travel ban, if we lifted our travel ban completely tomorrow, the Castros would implement some restrictions of their own. They already have some, but they'd do more because they want the revenue without the influence. But if somebody's going to limit my travel, it should be a communist.
I mean, yeah, I agree.
It shouldn't be us.
Well, yeah,
and
it's
so
an archaic principle.
I've traveled down there a number of times. I can tell you the Cubans don't hate Americans. They understand that that their government is, you know, past its date, and but man, it would just be we'd all be better off if we just allowed Americans to travel there. And frankly,
it is a silly policy.
It
really
is. It really is.
It had its day, but
I was able to pass legislation a couple of times to block enforcement of the travel ban. And it had identical language passed in the Senate, the Flake Amendment there, and I just could never get Bush to sign it.
Right.
And this is one thing that President Obama has done right. He has lifted restrictions on Cuban-American travel. Cuban Americans can travel back and forth as much as they want, which is a good thing. Religious travel has been weak. The restrictions have gone. So it's a good thing that we're.
All right. Well, we appreciate that. We're going to come back and talk about the border and other issues with Jeff Flake, who's running for United States Senate in the state of Arizona. And this is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese, and back after these commercial messages.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilenchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilenchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilenchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
He's the high priest of the Church of the Painful Truth.
Your experiment with this community organizer has failed.
The Neil Bort Show, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. on KFNX.
Afraid of high car repair bills? Would a $4,500 engine replacement hurt your savings?
Just a little?
Cover America Auto wants to give you a free quote on peace of mind protection. If your car breaks down, we'll pay the repair shop on covered repairs directly. No waiting for reimbursement. No hassle. If you're driving without coverage or if your warranty is about to expire, call us. You can trust you will be protected. Our claims department has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau with 50 years of dependability.
I just brought my car in, had the transmission replaced, and they paid the bill.
Plus, our direct-to-the-public rates can save you thousands off of what dealers may charge. Call for your free, no-obligation quote now at 800-681-1793, 800-681-1793. 24-hour roadside assistance and rental cars included on most plans. Don't wait. Call for your free quote now, 800-681-1793, 800-681-1793.
He's the voice of choice. Lou Dobbs leads the independent nation, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m., only on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100 and streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese, brought to you every Wednesday from 4 to 5 on KFNX, leading into the Lou Dobbs Show. And we're here talking with Jeff Flake, who is a congressman, six-term congressman from Arizona. And Soon to be, I think, our next U.S. senator, if we're lucky. Jeff has been talking about a lot of different issues here today with us. And, Jeff, in our last segment here, before we get rolling on some more issues, I want to just ask you, I noted that you had grown up, of course, in Arizona, but I think on a ranch near Snowflake. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
And that's a little bit different. So as you grew up, did you ever think you'd be in politics?
No. I just
Were you milking a cow or something?
Yeah, exactly. I was. I was just going to say that. I just wanted a job where I didn't have to milk a cow morning. I got tired of that.
Sure.
But I watched my dad in public service. He was a mayor of Snowflake, which kind of came by rotation.
Yeah,
it was a great example of public service. But I had a lot of uncles and aunts and others who would also involve themselves on, I mean, everything from irrigation districts to school boards to city councils. My uncle Jake Flake from Snowflake was Speaker of the House here.
Yeah. And is he still in the
Jake unfortunately died about 2 years ago after being thrown from his horse.
Right. I do remember that now.
Which just one of the great – and I, as I
freak
go around
accident.
The state, I just – I tell you, there is more respect for that man and what he stood for. And that has made – life so much easier for me,
right?
Because a lot of people mix us up too, and I have benefited immensely.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
From the good example that that people like my dad and my uncle Jake and others have set.
Yeah, but so that's what got you interested. And who are your heroes as you grew up?
Oh, Barry Goldwater was one. I mean, he was Mr. Arizona. I mean, he just
my son has a big poster of Barry Goldwater in his office.
Just kind of the iconoclastic, you know. Outdoorsman and
but
and
an individualist, a rugged individualist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that just I always thought a lot of him as I
spoke his mind.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. As I got into my senior year in high school, Reagan was elected, and I was always a big fan of his. Margaret Thatcher, I just always admired her throughout the 80s, and was able to meet her later. She came for the Goldwater Institute thing. And then,
she very pleasant there.
It was just an incredible experience to have her there. And then people like William F. Buckley, Jr. I was able to go sailing with him at least one time. And it was just...
I think he wrote books on sailing.
Yeah, he did a few. Yeah. I like those. But and then people like, people may not expect, but when I was in Southern Africa in the early 80s, it was this terrorist in jail named Nelson Mandela, and he could never get out because what he would, the havoc he would wreak upon this country and region. And he got out, and in my view, was an incredible president. And,
marvelous example of someone who tried to bring people together, and you wouldn't expect it.
Unbelievable.
Listening to the publicity.
And, I think the world of that man, and so do most people in Southern Africa who are just completely surprised at the level of forgiveness he had, for example.
Amazing.
Just an amazing guy.
All right. Well, that's interesting. And anybody outside of politics that you wanted to emulate? Or wanted to be in politics, sounds like.
Oh, no. I a sports figure. If I could be if I could be playing professional football or basketball or baseball, I'd probably do that in a heartbeat.
Okay. Okay. So this is a second calling. All right.
But there are a lot of people I admire in those fields as well.
Yeah. What do you think of President Obama?
I as an individual, I like the man. I've played basketball with President Obama on the South Lawn, and I get along with him.
It'd be hard to dribble on a lawn.
He has a nice court. It used to be the tennis court.
I bet
it's
he
been
does.
Transformed. But I enjoy association with him. He's invited me on Air Force One, and I like being around him, but I don't think that he's been a good president at all. I think that he...
certainly the change that he predicted hasn't happened, except for the worse.
Yeah, for the worse. Yeah. I mean, I just don't think that he's cut out for this job.
Yeah.
He certainly hasn't shown...
Great speaker, but...
Right. But it seems to be completely in over his head.
Yeah. Now, you're a strong supporter of the military, like Senator McCain, is that right?
You bet.
What do you think about this movement that's going on in the Arab world? Is that going to continue?
I hope so. I hope it continues through two more countries right now, in particular Syria. If it can continue in Syria, like it looks like it's doing, I can tell you there are going to be some idling aircraft on runways in Tehran because they've got to be worried at what's coming there. So I hope it continues there.
What about what's going on in Libya right now? Any thoughts on that?
I hope that. That the future gives the people of Libya, better than they've had in the past.
Yeah.
And that the country
seems like
is,
we've seen this before, haven't we, with Iraq, with some leader that was on the run, yeah. found in a little hole somewhere.
Yeah, there was some cartoon a while ago that had him in the same spider hole that
he rents out the same spider hole.
Yeah,
I wonder what that goes for. But anyway, let's talk quickly about the Department of Homeland Security, because you voted against the formation of the department. Did you make the right decision?
I did.
Why?
That's one of the votes I'm most proud of. When we saw it, they said at the time that we're going to make this streamlined, these agencies that were going to basically go away because the Department of Homeland Security was going to be there. It wasn't going to cost any more money because we were simply going to consolidate. We did none of that. It was $30 billion or so to start with.
Just another typical federal program.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And some of these agencies still don't talk to each other, and then it's just an added layer. And when you look at, say no more than the TSA and the way that DHS has handled the TSA at airports, and everybody goes through that and sees it, and I don't think anybody feels much safer than they did before.
But,
talk about hassled.
I was just talking about this morning. If you fly in a private plane, you get on the plane, nobody checks you for anything. You can go off and do whatever you want to do. And yet you go to the airport, you see a 90-year-old woman who's being manhandled and muscled and searched. It's ridiculous.
I tell you, that when I go to the airport, and I go to the airport a lot, and just despite what some people think, members of Congress go through the same lines, and do we have no special favors or anything there?
Better healthcare system, but we'll come to that.
But I can tell you, there's nothing that makes my blood boil than seeing that. I mean, the grandmothers, it's little kids being searched, and just the utter ineptitude of this whole system. And I hope that as I get to the Senate with a little more leverage than now,
well, we hope so.
we can change that.
Let's talk quickly about the border issues. What's your position on SB 1070 and the whole mess that's going on? I mean, real quickly, I had a conversation with somebody today who was Hispanic in a meeting earlier this morning, who's an activist. And, I said, I don't get it. You have to be here legally, don't you? And they said, the real issue is we're against these profiling, like sweeps and so forth. That's what the real issue is. What do you think the real issue here is?
Well, the real issue is securing the border. The nice thing is today we have an example of what a secure border looks like. And it was always in the past of, let's have a secure border. Well, what does that mean? What does operational control of the border mean? Well, in 80 miles of the 300-some-mile border we have in Arizona, 80 miles of it is the so-called Yuma sector. And in the Yuma sector, we have operational control, meaning that sheriffs, everybody concedes that if an illegal alien crosses, we have a reasonable expectation of catching them.
Right.
In the Tucson sector, we have nothing approaching that. And for every illegal we apprehend, the Department of Homeland Security estimates that two get by. And it's probably more than that.
What's the answer to this problem in your mind?
Well, the answer is a combination of what we did in the Tucson sector. And Judge Roll, who was unfortunately killed in the Gifford shooting, played a big part in that. And Senators Kyle and McCain worked hard at it to make sure that those who cross illegally are caught and there are consequences. That's the biggest part of what we don't have in the Tucson sector. You still have almost a catch-and-release policy there. In the Yuma sector, what we did is had a sure consequences program that was rolled out mile by mile across that 80 miles until those who were crossing knew that if they crossed, if it was a second time caught, they were in for at least a week.
What about the illegals that are here now? What would you do with them?
You know, that's a complicated issue that you just got to say, let's secure the border first and then deal with that issue. But I can tell you, rounding up illegals has never been the problem here. We have a lot of programs you can do with that. SB 1070 has perhaps made that easier. But the problem is, what do you do when you get them here? There's due process that they're accorded. And,
it's a complicated issue.
It is a complicated issue, but I can tell you, let's just secure that border.
Well, we put
first.
A man on the moon, but we can't seem to secure the border for some reason. So what's your position on a fence?
I'm sorry, on the fence?
Yeah.
Hey, build it where it makes sense, and where it doesn't, do aviation and everything else.
We've got just a brief period of time, but very quickly, if you can summarize your position on the healthcare system that's broken, what would you do with that?
give there are a couple of things quickly. Give individuals the same benefits that companies currently have in terms of being able to purchase healthcare premiums with pre-tax dollars. And
so you'd get rid of the Obamacare, I take it.
Oh, you bet. Yeah. I thought that
was what I was saying. Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yes. But get rid of Obamacare and then do some free market reforms that will reduce cost and better quality and force insurance companies to compete across state lines. They don't right now, and it would lower costs if they did. There are a number of things we can do. Short of single payer system or whatever else, in fact, going the other direction than that, and that we ought to do, because I can tell you, Obamacare we cannot afford. Aside from all the other problems of individual rights and everything else, we just can't afford it.
All right. Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure having you here. We've been talking for the hour with hopefully Senator Jeff Flake, presently Congressman, who's running for U.S. Senate, and. I hope that you'll give Jeff all your consideration when it comes time, and we'll try to follow you, Jeff, and hopefully when you get down the road, maybe you can appear again if you have some time. We really are pleased that you were able to be here today.
I'd love to. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you. And this is Dennis Wolinchek, KFNX News Talk Radio, and we will talk next week.
If you are over the age of 30 and are serious about losing 20 to 30 pounds of fat, please stay tuned to this important announcement. A local market trial is starting now for an incredible medical weight loss breakthrough. You may be eligible. We are looking for 200 people to participate in this risk-free trial. This medically supervised protocol is not a fad, gimmick, or diet craze. There is no surgery, diet food, or lap band involved. It simply helps reduce cravings, resets your body, resets your metabolism, and empowers you to change your life. This medical protocol is considered one of the fastest and most effective ways to lose weight and keep it off. Best of all, you witness noticeable results daily. Be one of the first 200 callers and you are guaranteed participation in this trial. Spots are limited and they will fill up. To reserve yours, call now 1-800-LOSE-FAT. That's 1-800-LOSE-FAT. 1-800-LOSE-FAT. This offer is limited, so call now 1-800-LOSE-FAT. That's 1-800-LOSE-FAT.
You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. Cape Creek, Phoenix. The home of Lou Dobbs. Weekdays 5 to 7 p.m. KFNX News Time. It's 5 o'clock.